today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Derek and Eric here.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. So there is another big, big trial going on in Los Angeles, and it's been in waiting for a long time.
It feels like. Does Tory Lanez, Megan Thee Stallion, did he shoot her foot or shoot shrapnel at her foot?
Yeah, the telltale case of the shot feet.
It's been 2.5 years since that happened.
2.5 years. This was a long, long time ago. We have to paint a picture. This was at Kylie Jenner's pool party a couple years ago in July of 2020, sort of at the height of the pandemic. Why they were having a pool party, I don't know.
Seems like a bad idea.
Hope they were masked up at the time, but it didn't end well. And remember, Megan Thee Stallion ended up having her feet injured. Now, I just say injured because there's a lot of speculation that there's no bullets in them, only bullet fragments, maybe just glass. That's what this trial is about.
But chunks of the sidewalk, maybe, right?
Chunks of the sidewalk. Look, the allegation is that Tory Lanez, who she was romantically involved with at the time, shot her in the feet during some episode in an SUV when they left the party. There was another woman in the car, her friend Kelsey.
Yes, Megan's friend.
Megan's friend Kelsey. So prosecutors and the defense come out with their opening statements to sort of lay out their theories of the case. And the prosecutors say, look, this is not all that complicated. Tory fired 5 shots. It hit Megan in both of her feet were injured in this shooting. And they said what set off Tory, who's got this reputation as a volatile guy, is that Megan in the car said something sarcastic about him being a beautiful artist.
Yeah, she diminished his artistry. And
that's something you can imagine Tory Lanez not taking kindly to.
Not.
Whether he would shoot someone over it, that's going to be the job of the prosecution to convince the jury.
It seems, for 2 years now, this has seemed pretty cut and dry. Like, he shot the ground at her, told her to dance, hit her feet. Okay.
Yeah.
But Tory, they're going for the Shaggy defense.
Yeah. Tory
wasn't me.
Wasn't me. And his defense had an opportunity to sort of lay out what they believe actually happened here and why they think there are holes in the prosecution. Remember, you have to remember in a criminal trial, Tory's only burden is to introduce reasonable doubt. He doesn't have a burden to prove the case. That is entirely on the prosecution. They have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Tory shot Megan Thee Stallion in the feet. All Tory has to do is say, hey, there's some other theories. Introduce some doubt in the minds of a juror so that it's not unanimous, get a mistrial, and probably walk away. They probably wouldn't retry him. He doesn't have to convince all of them. He just has to convince one person
or
in that
even,
jury.
Even people who think he did it might think, well, but maybe he didn't.
That's right.
So he's saying it's her friend Kelsey did it because
at least try and introduce that idea
because
someone else must have fired these shots. I didn't.
They're saying that Megan had a history of hooking up with Kelsey's exes,
mm-hmm.
and that one of those is Ben Simmons from the Nets.
Yes, famous basketball player,
and that's what set Kelsey off, and it was like a jealousy thing, I guess. Ben Simmons didn't directly mentioned this, but he did post a clip of Rick Ross just saying, accusations, these are false accusations.
Right. He did he denied it in the most social media kind of savvy way. It's the way people sort of nod at these things publicly now is they'll post a meme that sort of is on point, and it sounds like he is saying that's not the case. I don't know if he's saying I didn't date Kelsey or that's not the reason that the shots were fired, but he's just sort of laying out there like, look, my name is brought up. This is false.
Leave me out of it.
This is not my trial. I don't want to be part of it. But, you know, the defense team will bring up absolutely anything. Their job is to protect Tory Lanez from being convicted. So if Ben Simmons can help in that cause, they owe no obligation to leave Ben Simmons' name out of it, and they'll bring up whatever they can to throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks.
And it's fun, like with juries, like you said, all they have to do is just create an alternate theory that could maybe be true, and that's enough to get him off.
Or make you doubt the prosecutor.
To me, yeah, years ago, but from the last couple of years, conspiracy theories and things people online believe.
That's right.
Well, it was Russia and Hunter Biden did it.
Right.
Oh, well, I believe that. Well, you can make people believe anything now. So
it's harder and harder to convict people the more conspiratorial our minds become. Because if you're allowed
people shot her.
A flight of fancy. Yeah, exactly. They just bring something up. Why not? Another thing they're bringing up, and I think this is a better tactic maybe than casting blame at Kelsey, because at some point, the prosecutors are going to probably bring up Kelsey to the stand, and they're going to ask Kelsey, did you fire the shots? And she's going to very plainly say no. So that theory of her potentially having fired these shots, is she credible or not on the stand if she's introduced or her deposition testimony is introduced? That's a sort of tougher game to play because it's going to be he said, she said, and you're going to have to look at Kelsey and say, is she lying or not?
Yeah.
Another thing you can do is sort of cast doubt on the scene that they're sort of laying out. And remember, they came from a pool party. Apparently, Tory Lanez was in a swimsuit.
Yeah.
And they're saying, look, you can't really hold a gun in your swimsuit. Where did he pull it from?
It would be kind of tricky.
It is a little tricky. And the other thing is the gun apparently didn't leave any DNA from Tori, doesn't have any residue on him from firing the weapon. Those are big deals to a jury. If you say this guy fired a gun, there's sort of smoke that comes off that gets usually deposited on your hand. They're saying they don't have that with Tori. So there is doubt as to whether he fired this gun. And that's why they're saying, look, I don't know if Kelsey did it. It was a, you know, sort of a chaotic scene. But those types of pieces of evidence will stick in a jury's mind. Sure. You can better believe that Tori's attorneys are going to hammer on those.
And they've also, they're trying to undermine Megan, like her credibility, because initially she didn't want to go to the cops and report Tori. And she said it's because he was on probation and she didn't want to get him in trouble.
Yes.
But Tori's defense is like, he has never been on probation. He's never been convicted of anything. So she was lying.
That's right.
And she lied to cops and then she lied about why she was lying.
Yes.
So they can then be like, well, what else do we know she's lying about?
That's exactly right. This is a very popular tactic when you're chipping away at someone's credibility is to say, if they lied about something small, I want you to think about what else they lied about. So they don't have her direct. She does say Tori shot her, but she lied about this other thing and she lied about here. So why would you believe when she said she shot Tori or that Tori shot her? It's a good sort of approach. I don't know. This case is quite messy. I think it's messier than I initially appreciated.
It seemed so cut and dried when this all happened.
Yes. But now that we're here on trial day and all of these theories are out, I'm even confused. So I can imagine as a juror sitting there being like, well, I don't know if he shot her now. Yeah, it seemed cut and dry, but maybe it's not.
If they're trying to say that her friend Kelsey shot at her, you can also make sense then, because initially she lied to cops about it because she said she was trying to protect Tori.
Yes.
Well, then how do you not think, well, maybe she's just trying to protect her girlfriend? Maybe they had like a fight over an ex.
That's right.
Things got a little heated and now she's like, nah, it was him.
Look at you. You're a conspiratorial mind.
No,
now.
I'm just thinking how the defense is going to think.
No,
that's all you have to do. And if you can get the jury to think that, then Tory Lanez just walks free.
That's right. And there's another person in this car, apparently, a man named Jaquan, who is the guy who drove Tory to the party. This is an SUV. He might have something to say. If you can get Kelsey, Jaquan to line up on one side, whether that be the prosecution or the defense, and I anticipate it'll be the prosecution, that's going to be very difficult for Tory to overcome.
Because three-fourths of the witnesses are like, it was you.
Yeah, you can paint as many theories as you want, but if there are eyewitnesses, it's really, really tough. Now, it was chaotic inside that SUV, and there are people who are sort of have reasons to lie, and you can challenge credibility in various ways. But when you have multiple people saying the same thing, a jury is going to be inclined to go with the multiple people who are sort of disinterested people who weren't shot in the fracas and are just saying, look, this was a nasty situation and here's what happened. That's why they're called independent sort of third party witnesses, you know, because Megan has an axe to grind. Tori certainly has an axe to grind. He wants to keep himself out of prison. We'll have to see. It's going to be an interesting case.
There's the legal issue of it. Like, yeah, he doesn't want to go to prison, but it's become very personal between the two of them. And
talk to me a little bit about this nastiness, because Tori, in the initial period, there's text messages or voicemails where he was apologizing profusely about what happened at the party, although he's not specific.
And then he kind of walked that back and then like saying, and she was like, you know, you shot me.
Yes.
Like he denied it. And she's like, I was going to let it go. And now you're like, now you've addressed it. So I'm going to address it. And they've just been publicly sniping at each other.
Yes.
So, but you know, also this could change completely whenever Megan gets on the stand.
Yes.
If she's, you know, teary eyed telling her story about him shooting at her. That can sway a jury too.
That's true.
The trial's just begun. We have no idea exactly where this is going to go.
This is always what's resonating with me a little bit. It seems like Tori could have gone a different path after this incident and that Megan wouldn't have pressed charges. Now, you know, the reason Tori's on trial is because Megan was really upset and she sort of pushed this case forward and said, I was shot in the feet and he should be held accountable. But it seems like she wasn't necessarily going to be so upset about it if he had taken some accountability in her mind. So if he had, it's not even clear that prosecutors would have moved the case forward. Look, they could. He fired a weapon and that's a crime into someone's foot. But if the victim is not cooperative, if the victim says, look, I know he shot me, but we both drank a lot that night and I don't want to get on the stand and I'm not going to help you convict Tory Lanez, prosecutors will generally say, well, we shouldn't bring this case then. What are we doing?
If there's no trace of gun residue on his person, then they kind of don't have a case then.
That's right.
If there's no statement from her, no physical evidence of it.
It's a harder case to prove when you have a witness saying, look, I'm not going to help you. Because her testimony is key. So I wonder if that could have happened. It doesn't strike me that Megan Thee Stallion is this vindictive person. It sounds like she got set off by his response to denying what happened.
Because she initially denied it happened. And then she's like, okay.
That's it. And then she went on her interview tour and she said, well, if you're going to take it that way, then I am going to push and I'm going to help the prosecutors. So he sort of made his bed a little bit. That being said, I've talked to Lauren and I say, Lauren about this. She's very interested in the case on our news desk. And she's like, I'm genuinely just confused now because he's maintained this position of not having done it. It does call into question. He's willing to go to trial over this issue. He probably could have gone another path where he just sort of apologized to her and it would have gone away. So that makes her believe him more. But if he's willing to sort of stand on his word and risk prison, it might cut the other way that you think, oh, maybe Tory Lanez is telling the truth. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a genuinely confusing case. It's got a lot going on. We'll obviously follow it very closely. But, if I were prognosticating based on the opening statements, I'd say he's going to be convicted. I think the prosecutors say he's got five shots. And even though there's a little bit of doubt, they sound sort of far-fetched. You would say no.
I don't know. I think this has just begun, and we're going to see a lot of twists and turns. Because I already didn't see, Ben Simmons getting pulled into this and the blaming the friend. And it's already getting weird.
It's already getting weird. And look, I didn't call Johnny and Amber. I don't have a great track record. I thought there was enough to find Johnny Depp liable.
So the one thing we do know is you're a terrible lawyer.
Exactly. I can talk the talk, but when it comes to the results, I don't know anything.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.
So let's move on to another sort of very, very curious story. Robert Griffin III, who was a very highly touted quarterback in the NFL for a couple years, had some injury problems, but was a huge talent in college. He's now an ESPN announcer, and he was sort of breaking down and analyzing the Eagles' win over the Giants. And I just want to play the sound of what he said.
Well, he's talking about Jalen Hurts, who's the quarterback
That's right.
for Philadelphia. And he was saying, people didn't believe him that he could do well, but he always believed he did. And this is sort of how he praised him.
That's right.
People said that Jalen Hurts couldn't get it done. He couldn't operate from the pocket. He's not the quarterback of the future. I think he proved all those who's wrong.
Okay. So that is the soundbite. He is sort of... praising Jalen Hurts, as you said. He's saying this guy had a lot of naysayers who said he wouldn't be good enough, and he's proven them wrong. And the word he uses for who he proved wrong is a very old Southern slur, a racial slur.
An odd word to use.
It's the J word, and I don't even know if that conveys
there
anything.
Probably people who don't know what that even... Wait, they don't even know what word you're talking about. But we can explain this. I'm definitely not going to say it. He apologized for it. And he tweeted, he goes, definitely need to clarify this. This is not what I meant to say. Was trying to say those bugaboos in reference to haters and doubters. Regardless of my intention, I understand the historical context of the term that came out of my mouth, and I apologize.
Look, I think this sort of clears it up. It's still a very curious thing. So I did some digging to figure out, where did Robert Griffin come from? Because this is not a term that is even in the lexicon of most people. Certainly not people, Robert Griffin is a little bit younger than me. It's a term I've heard of, but it was never used during my youth.
It's a word that's lingered in the South a bit.
It lingers a little bit? Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe it's around, and I wondered, is he from the South? He actually is not. He was born in Japan. He lived in Washington. However, after he lived in Washington for a number of years, he moved to Texas. And I wonder if he sort of picked it up in that region of the country as sort of a term that's in the ether, maybe used infrequently, but still sort of around. It's undeniably a slur, and he's saying, it's not what I meant. I take him at his word. I don't think Robert Griffin was trying to...
In context, it doesn't even make sense.
That's right.
Like, bugaboo, I get. It's like, I think of the Destiny's Child song, but it's like sort of... annoying, in your face,
right,
kind of person. And that's, I think, what he's trying to say. It was just a weird slip.
It's a strange slip, but it doesn't feel Freudian in any way.
No.
I don't think there's any reason to drag.
Do we think he's racist?
No, of course not.
That doesn't make any sense either.
So. And in the context of what he's actually, conveying something very positive about the quarterback and sort of saying these doubters underestimated him. So there's contextually, it doesn't make sense. It's interesting. That's the only reason I sort of bring up this story is, everything on the internet gets like memed immediately, right? Mm-hmm. And so he says this, it circulates wildly. He tweets his apology. This to me is a triumph of how quickly you can overcome things, right? Because in the previous era, there might have been a news story and then he might have stayed silent and had his PR team. Now you just get on and you tweet your explanation and it's over. And I think that's, you know, we talk about how things get blown out of proportion. They can also be resolved quite quickly.
Well, were people outraged by this?
I think some people were like, drop when you hear it because it's a little bit jarring to hear it. And so you do need some sort of explanation. I don't think he can just remain silent while the internet is swirling around with him saying this word. But he gets out there and he says, okay, here's a tweet. Here's what I meant to say.
Literally not what I meant to
say. Clearly not what I meant to say. And it squashes it. And I like pointing it as an example of, look, there's the bitter and the sweet. Sometimes these things get blown way out of proportion. People get dragged, canceled. It's all over one word you've said in your life. And you have, you know, sort of, if you've lived 40 years, you have 40 years of context, but one word can just sort of destroy your career. Here, you can also, like, remedy things quite quickly.
Well,
so social media gives it a takes.
Of who said it and what was the context. And, again, I don't think he was, people arguing that he's racist, because that's a weird argument to.
It's insane. But Robert Griffin will survive this. I like it as sort of a good example of the internet creating and then solving the own problem, the problem that it creates. I mean, he said the word, it's strange, and we investigate it quite quickly. We learn he grew up a little bit in Texas. He was trying to say bugaboos. And this story is over. It didn't come out that way. But
I do wish he'd realized it as he said it and just been like, ooh.
Yeah, it would have been interesting if he had like something catching him where he's like, oh, that didn't sound right. And no one around him, it's a very short clip, but no one around him sort of really blanches all that much. It seems like they might not have heard it, or they also might not have been familiar with the term.
Possibly.
And so now it's a teachable moment. We all now know this ugly, ugly term that should have been retired years ago. But
it'd be funny if that's how he found out what he said. If like at the break, they were like, what does that mean? He's like, bugaboo? They're like, that's not what you said.
Whoa. He didn't, when they came back from break, address it immediately. So
he might not have realized.
I think he didn't realize. And I think producers in his ear didn't realize. And I think the people on the dais, and that says a lot too, that this is now something that he had to say, oh, wow, the internet found something that was a mistake. And let me address it.
So many times seeing the sportscasters, they'll say something offensive and then come back from a break. Yes. And like, I want to apologize. That's what I said earlier. Yeah, this was not that case.
not one of those. So no harm, no foul, Robert Griffin. Just sort of an interesting story to finish the day on. Yeah. So we'll see you next time.